Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, listen to this. Organic cane sugar, safflower oil, chamomile.
Sounds delicious. What is that a recipe for?
It's this super yummy face scrub.
What?
Right, from Voyage AC.
Okay.
It exfoliates your face and nourishes your skin.
I was going to say that your skin is glowing, honey. I think that scrub's definitely working.
Oh, thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. You'll want to check out all of Voyage AC's gorgeous face and body products, beautiful scents, and phenomenal candles. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our brand new website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VOYAGETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
Right. All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and sense.
This podcast is supported by Cute Booty Lounge. And allow me to take a moment to thank Cute Booty Lounge for signing on to sponsor another season of The Only One in the Room.
Yay!
Yep, we love talking about them.
Yes, we do. And I love wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
Feel these, hon. Just run your hands up and down them.
Ooh, that's soft.
Right?
I don't know if I've ever said this before, though, but that is some sexy material.
Right? These lifestyle stretch booty leggings are some of the most comfortable leggings I've ever felt in my entire life. Mm. It's like you're wearing a soft cloud on your legs, and it comes with a matching crop top so you can be comfortable from head to toe. So let me just tell you a little bit about Cute Booty Lounge. They're made right here in the USA by women and for women.
Mm-hmm.
Company's incredible, female and minority owned. Everything they make makes your booty look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Dresses, tops, lounge. Well, the tops make everything else look amazing. Lounge and sleepwear. And their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. I get stopped in them all the time. There is a cute booty style for everyone. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body. Love your booty.
And to make the deal even sweeter, head over to cutebooty.com and enter the code TheOnlyBooty to get 15% off your first order.
That's such a great deal. What is it again, hon?
Yeah, get yours now. Head to cutebooty.com and enter the code TheOnlyBooty and get 15% off your first order.
Awesome.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, yeah, as Scott said, this is on my nightstand, and I'm Laura Cathcart-Robbins. And today I'm going to be reading you a piece that I wrote that appeared in HuffPost Personal in the Huffington Post a couple weeks ago, mid-September. This particular article went viral, which I was actually surprised to hear, very pleasantly surprised to hear. It's called "A White Woman Told Me She Didn't Think of Me as Black. Here's How I Reacted." And again, it is by me, Laura Cathcart Robbins. Once, as I was putting the final touches on the live auction program from my son's school, one of the committee moms expressed surprise when I told her that I wanted to get more Black parents involved the following year. "It's funny," she said. "I don't ever really think of you as Black. I've always just seen you as one of us." One of us. Us. The private school going, Range Rover driving, net jet flying, fundraiser throwing, white elite. "Please don't think for a minute that we have the same experience when we step off this campus," I thought. "Do you imagine that affluence trumps race out there in the real world? Because honestly, it is the other way around." When my kids were in elementary school, I was the only Black room mom. So as such, I made sure that our classes celebrated Black History Month by studying Black scientists and inventors instead of only athletes and entertainers. When they were in high school, I was the only board member to insist that we create a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee to deal with the racism our students, parents, and faculty were experiencing on campus. I devoted myself to ensuring that each of our school's young Black kids had a platform to speak their collective truths. And when they were brave enough to stand up and describe the hurt and loneliness of being the only BIPOC one in their class or at a school social gathering, I felt that pain at a cellular level, for it was my pain too. And yet, some have accused me of being a hypocrite. I was on a talk show recently to discuss race in the classroom. During a short break, one of the moms on the other side of the issue questioned my sincerity, because according to her, I seemed to be doing fine. "You live in a good neighborhood. You are a successful business owner. You sit on the board of one of the most prestigious schools in California. If this country is so racist, how do you explain all that?" That was not the first time someone had taken note of my privilege and used it to dismiss my progressive stance on topics like racism and equity. It happens all the time online. Just look at the comments on some of my articles. And now and then someone questions it to my face. I've heard rude statements like, "But aren't you mixed anyway?" Meaning, I suppose, that the white half would cancel out the Black half and all my troubles would be over. I'm not mixed race, by the way. Both my parents are Black. In fact, I was born in the Negro ward at Illinois Research Hospital. So there's that. The fact that I was married to a successful white man also comes up a lot. As if I had any choice of who I fell in love with 26 years ago. Rich or poor, tall or short, Black or white. And as if that white man I married somehow by proxy made my brown skin less threatening to those around me. In these instances, I have often had to fight the impulse to throw down my Blackness like a gauntlet and challenge them to a duel. I want to get up in their face and in a clear, steady voice, dare them to ask me how many times I've been called nigger. At least 20, mainly by people driving by in pickup trucks. I hate to stereotype, but it's true. Or tell them about the time I had an appointment at a new salon, but when I walked in, the white proprietor looked me up and down coldly and said, "Mistake in booking. We can't take you today." Once I was the only person at my table to be charged a $10 service fee when my white dinner companions and I got our separate checks. And then there was that moment I'll never forget while touring a public school in Malibu. When I asked about diversity, the principal looked me dead in the face and told me, "It's a very homogeneous community, and most of our parents would like to keep it that way." I would like to tell them then how I heard my heartbeat in my ears, and how the air around me turned to jello, and how I didn't have time to brace for the anger and humiliation that came barreling toward me like a gut punch. Malcolm X famously said, "What do you call a Black man with a PhD? Answer, you call him nigger. Meaning, of course, that when it comes down to it, regardless of my platinum card or the car I drive, irrespective of the neighborhood in which I live, regardless of how articulate I might seem, all I am and all I ever will be to some people is Black. I wager that if you ask any Black person in our country, they'll have stories like mine. Remember that salesperson who refused to remove an expensive handbag from the sales case when Oprah Winfrey asked to see it? Yes, Oprah. Or how about that fancy Los Angeles seafood restaurant that for years had a reputation of seating all its Black customers in the back? This is something that has happened to my family and me several times at different establishments. What about black people being detained for loitering in front of their own houses, which happened to my sons 2 years ago? Or how about being stopped and assaulted by the police while walking their dogs? This happened to Nikita Brown in Chicago 2 weeks ago. I could go on and on, of course. And even with all this, there are people who think that I should just shut up about race and be grateful. And don't get me wrong, I am grateful. I understand how fortunate I am to have all the access and resources that I do, and I don't take any of it for granted. But my privilege doesn't keep me safe from the emotional, psychological, and physical harm that is waiting for me the moment I turn on the news or walk out of my front door. Couple that with the fact that I have black sons and a country that seems to hate black men. The way I see it, I have no choice but to call out racism that we all live with as loudly and as often as I can. Privilege, though, is not confined to money or pedigree. Although most people generally think of privilege as socioeconomic, that's just one of many categories. Of course, there is white privilege, but there's also colorism. Colorism, favoring light-skinned people over darker skin tones, is real and present in both black and white communities. Often, because I am light-skinned and female, white people assess me as safe or exceptional, and black people think I have it easier. Unfortunately, they're right. Light-skinned women are sentenced to 12% less time behind bars than our darker-skinned counterparts. And a University of Georgia study shows that employers prefer light-skinned black applicants to darker-skinned ones. We could also talk about gender privilege. Men still get paid more than women for the same jobs, and that's a fact. There's cis-hetero privilege, educational privilege, zip code privilege, right-handed privilege, and able-bodied privilege, age privilege, and hair privilege. Given all this, perhaps that committee mom could be forgiven for thinking that she and I are alike. But because we share certain privileges, socioeconomic, cis-hetero, able-bodied, right-handedness, etc., she'd blinded herself to the all-important identifier that still separates me from her. The true privilege is that my blackness can slip her mind from time to time, but the world we live in won't ever let me forget it. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Some of the best content for kids is both entertaining and educational. And with 5 for 5 trivia, not only do kids get to learn from each week's brand new theme, they also get to challenge themselves by playing trivia. A Parents' Choice Foundation Silver Award winner, this fast-paced trivia podcast is perfect for kids ages 6 to 12. It's released 5 times a week, so it's a quick addition to your daily routine and a fun challenge to get 5 out of 5 right on trivia topics like animal sounds, time travel, fictional ghosts, and underwater exploration. So get your high fives warmed up and check out 5 for 5 Trivia, available wherever you listen to podcasts.